Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live in his car once again, driving around Madison, Wisconsin, where you're not going to believe this. It's cold. I'm driving back from the Kohl Center to my hotel following Purdue's 69-65 loss at Wisconsin. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So Purdue starts off slowly on the road again, this time more offensively than defensively. Purdue opened with its kind of defense-optimized lineup on the floor, for lack of a better term, with Matt Harms in at center for Travion Williams. Whether that had anything to do with Purdue starting slow on offense or whether this was just the fact that Purdue always seems to start slow on the road, I don't know. But to me, it sounded to me, based on what Matt Painter said after the game, it sounded like this was more about button pushing on Travion Williams, who I think is Purdue's best player. Didn't play terribly well at Ohio State, as a lot of people didn't. I think this was probably in line with what Matt Painter did a couple of games ago with Eric Hunter, where he pulled him out of the starting five for a game. Eric Hunter responded by making some really big plays at Northwestern to win that game and then playing some of his best basketball thereafter. Whatever the reason may be, Purdue started the game with a different starting five on the floor, really struggled offensively. I can't say with any level of certainty that things would have been different had Travion Williams started the game. I know people always gravitate toward what was different, but I can't say with any level of certainty that things would have been different offensively had Purdue started Travion Williams. He is a player they try to get established early offensively, so if he's that player, then I don't know who that player was in this situation. But Purdue really did struggle to score. Of their first 15 possessions, 13 of them wound up coming up empty. Purdue didn't score until Travion Williams checked in and put back two of Purdue's misses. So Purdue's best offense to start this game literally was missing shots. That's sort of Purdue's reality. You know, offensively, they are just, they're not a great offensive team. I mean, at this point in February, that's pretty evident. What's disappointing from Purdue's perspective, too, about this game, though, is that what they have been all season has been a pretty decent defensive team. And, you know, we talk about playing on the road. The topics of energy and effort tend to always come up. But attention to detail is an even bigger deal than those things. Now, when you have attention to detail and you do it with energy and effort, then you're really the big winner here. But the attention to detail is really important. And, you know, Purdue's last three opponents, the last two, I haven't tabulated all three combined yet, but Penn State and Ohio State shot 50% between them from three-point range against Purdue. Wisconsin didn't shoot a great percent. I mean, an overwhelming percentage. They were just under 40%, which is good, but they made 12 of them. And the one thing Purdue could not afford to do in this game to me was give up double-digit threes to Wisconsin. They needed to make Wisconsin put the ball on the floor. Those guards are good players, but they're a lot like Purdue in the sense that they're not going to blow by people. They're not going to be great at the rim. They're not going to get to the rim in a lot of cases. And if they're going to shoot pull-up twos, great. Make them beat you with pull-up twos. Purdue just could not let Wisconsin kill them from three-point range, and that's basically what happened. But I'm talking about the guards when really it was Aleem Ford, who you probably have never heard of, because he's kind of one of those guys in the Big Ten where you kind of remember him when you see him, but you never really talk about him, you never really think about him. He's just kind of there. He's just kind of one of those guys. And tonight he was sort of the random Seth Lundy of the night, who made five threes against Purdue. I promise you he was prominently featured on Purdue's scouting report. I know Purdue was hyper aware of the fact that Wisconsin can shoot from all over the floor, and the last thing you needed to do was let any of those five guys on the floor really get going. And, you know, Purdue, one way or another, he just kept getting shots. I know there was at least one in transition. It's not necessarily on your half-court defense, but, you know, Purdue, it stands to reason to suggest, should have been meeting all of those guys beyond the three-point arc whenever possible. And to give up 12 threes when that was basically probably the biggest line on your scouting report, probably after guarding Nate Reavers, just has to be really disappointing for Purdue. Big Ten teams all shoot better at home. You couldn't expect Wisconsin to score 15 points in the first half like it did in Mackey Arena a couple of weeks ago. But they almost had more threes in this game than they had points in the first half. in this game, and you just could not let them go off from three. They did. You still had a chance to win at the end. Wisconsin, in typical Wisconsin form, goes and gets four offensive rebounds in the span of three possessions. It's one of those games where you win the rebounding battle, but Wisconsin wins the rebounding war because they beat you with the category you won, because Wisconsin gets 4 points off of those four offensive rebounds. They take additional time off the clock. They shorten the game. Purdue just needed the ball there. If Purdue gets the ball two out of those three sequences, and it was three sequences because one of the sequences had two offensive rebounds. If Purdue closes out two of those three sequences with defensive rebounds, real good chance Purdue wins this game. It was down to 2 points there with, I don't know how many seconds to go inside the final minute. You saw the game on TV. You saw Sasha Stefanovic gets a good look from three. Purdue didn't need a three, but they got a great look from three to go ahead. Misses that shot. Trayvon Williams gets the offensive rebound, gets back to Stefanovic. Later, hindsight being what it is, Stefanovic called it a horrible shot. You know, throwing himself up under the bus for the outcome, which is obviously noble. I'll have to go back and see just exactly how off balance he was shooting that ball. But he obviously agreed that it wasn't a great shot. Purdue had a chance. But, you know, when games are this close, the butterfly effect takes hold here, and you go back through everything that happens. You audit everything that happens. And once again, it goes back not just to those offensive rebounds before that shot, but it goes all the way back to the first half. It goes back to those first 6 minutes where you just couldn't score. It goes back to every time you didn't close out on Aleem Ford when he'd already made three or four threes. It goes back to every little breakdown that, you know, Purdue has to be better than to win these games. It has to be more on top of its defensive assignments. And I know when teams get hot, they're hot, and there's only so much you can do about it, but there is something you can do about it, and that's, it just seems like there has to be a deficit there these last three games for Purdue defensively that is allowing these teams to get into these shooting rhythms. You look at the Ohio State game, seconds into the game, one of the first lines on Purdue's scouting report of Ohio State has to be, Caleb Wesson is really good, and he can shoot now. And like literally seconds into the game, Purdue looked to me like they botched a switch up top, albeit literally Caleb Wesson shot that ball from Pittsburgh when he was standing on the outskirts of the Ohio silhouette at half court. He was in Pittsburgh. He shot that ball from way out there. But still, Purdue was behind the play. Purdue was behind the screen. It needed to meet him. It needed to meet a lot of those shooters for Ohio State. It needed to meet a lot more of those shooters for Penn State. It needed to meet certainly all of these shooters for Wisconsin. Whenever Purdue had control over that, it needed to get out there and make those guys put the ball on the floor, not give them clean looks from three, because it is a different animal when you're playing on somebody's home floor in the Big Ten. They are going to make those shots more often than they're going to miss those shots. And that's exactly what happened to Purdue tonight. To Purdue's credit, you know, this was a game where they could have just, you know, gotten beat by 15 here, but they did make a comeback. They did get in a position to steal this one at the end, the same way they did at Northwestern. Wisconsin is better than Northwestern, so this one matters more, even though Purdue didn't win the game. Purdue's in a really tough spot now, as you guys know. I am still reprogramming myself to accept the fact that a team that is currently one game over 500 overall at this stage of the season can still make the NCAA tournament. But obviously, almost everything has to fall into place for Purdue from here on out. They have to win all three of their home games to even have a chance, to me. And then they may even need Iowa at this point. I don't know, but as it stands now, Purdue's fate is in its own hands, but it's also in the hands of other people. If Minnesota and Indiana get some good wins from here on out, if somebody in some other rando league wins its tournament in a league where the at-larges are obvious, you know, you are at other people's mercy now. And I'm sitting in the parking lot of my hotel watching somebody on the state road here get pulled over. Kind of spooked me there for a second. Anyway, Purdue's in a really tough spot here, as you know. But, you know, Purdue's had its opportunities to prove that it belongs in the NCAA tournament, and it has not done it away from Mackey Arena to this point. And if you can't do it away from your home floor, there's a conversation to be had there about whether or not you do belong in the NCAA tournament. I mean, this is a 14-win team right now, pretty deep into February. And, you know, if they get in at this point, that will be a pretty notable accomplishment for them, given the position they're in at this stage of the season, the situation they've had countless opportunities now to do something about by playing better on the road than they have, specifically in the first 10 minutes of games. It just hasn't clicked. And if it hasn't clicked by February 18th, you know, it's probably a fool's endeavor here to sit here and expect it to happen the next time out. That's where I was wrong in all of this tonight. I picked Purdue to win this game with extreme reservation because I like the matchups against Wisconsin. I just think they match up well with Wisconsin. The one thing that could not happen was Purdue could not play a role in Wisconsin going off from three. And again, 12 three-pointers playing on the road is going to lose you a lot of basketball games when you're on the wrong side of it. So it's kind of the story tonight. So from Purdue's 69-65 loss at Wisconsin, more specifically the parking lot of the Home 2 Suites by the Reliant Energy Center, or Alliant Energy Center, whatever it's called here, I don't know. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, the First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Chargers Team Remax Ability Plus. So I hope this sounded better. I've used the microphone tonight, and I have the little fuzzy thing on the microphone because the microphone was cold. So I hope the audio on this is better than it is normally. If it is, it's because I'm using the microphone. So FYI, in case you were spooked by the markedly improved audio. So we'll talk to you again Saturday night after Purdue plays Michigan in Mackey Arena. The audio then will probably be better. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.